Imagine your computer is running like a heavy video editing program, a massive video game, and maybe 50 browser tabs all at once. The fans are screaming, the temp spikes, and eventually the whole system just crashes. Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're looking at a region that faced, well, that exact kind of system crash in real life, and actually survived.
Right, and they didn't just survive. I mean, they essentially rebuilt the computer while it was overheating. We're unpacking the latest disaster management data out of South Africa's Western Cape, specifically, you know, their 2024 to 2025 annual report. Our mission today is figuring out how a local government handles a barrage of simultaneous catastrophic crises and manages to emerge stronger.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the sheer scale of what hit the Western Cape in that 2024 window is just staggering. You have back-to-back severe winter storms causing mass flooding.
Yeah, just relentless storms.
Right, and then completely without warning, the Squirtland Dam collapses in Riverlands, wiping out infrastructure. And right alongside all of that, a multi-story building collapses in George on May 6th.
And that George collapse, that was an incredibly complex rescue operation. Yet despite all this overlapping climatic, structural, and like socioeconomic chaos hitting the province at once, a highly coordinated multi-agency rescue managed to pull 29 people alive from that rubble.
Wow, 29 people. Which honestly brings me to my main question. How does a local government avoid that total system crash when hit with so many different disasters at the exact same time?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, survival in these moments comes down to invisible architecture. It's institutional trust and governance. For instance, the Provincial Disaster Management Center. They mobilized over 55 million rand in national relief funding in a matter of weeks.
Just weeks. To put that in perspective for you, moving that much government money usually takes months of red tape. So doing it in weeks means the bureaucratic pipes were already perfectly greased before the rain even started falling.
Exactly. You simply cannot move cash that fast without deep, pre-existing systemic trust.
Sure, mobilizing 55 million rand quickly is great, but, I mean, cash is useless if the fire department and the water engineers aren't actually talking to each other on the ground. How did they coordinate that relief?
Well, they created a top-level command squad, officially called an interdepartmental HOD committee, and it was specifically designed to force different government agencies to work together.
Ah, so like an orchestra conductor.
Right. Instead of the firefighters and structural engineers playing totally different songs and just making noise, this command squad ensures they are all reading from the exact same sheet music.
I see. And they're heavily investing in future capacity, too. The report outlines a massive rollout of a 3-year, 16-course disaster management learning program for local officials.
Yes, and that is a massive shift in how...
Wait, I have to push back on that a little bit. A 3-year academic program? I mean, if I am standing on the roof of my flooded house today, I do not care that the local zoning official is in semester 2 of a college course. Unpredictable disasters are happening to people right now. Isn't a 3-year timeline way too slow of a fix?
I hear you. It sounds totally counterintuitive when the water is already rising. But this is why it matters. When a crisis hits, you do not want to rely on the sudden heroic genius of one local official who just happens to be on shift.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, professionalizing these local teams removes luck from the equation entirely.
So they are taking local officials who might normally just handle parking permits and putting them through a rigorous boot camp so they can, like, project manage a dam collapse.
Precisely. A standardized curriculum creates a baseline for rapid response across every single municipality. You build a machine that works effectively every time, regardless of who happens to be sitting in the driver's seat.
Which means you're moving from just reacting to a crisis to engineering the luck out of it. And that shifts us from response to actual prevention.
Prevention is the ultimate goal here. And it's not just paperwork, you know. They deployed 10.5 million rand for tangible frontline gear. Things like fire vehicles and smoke alarms.
Crucial stuff.
Absolutely. They also took the message directly to the next generation, putting over 30,000 school learners through hazard awareness programs.
Here's where it gets really interesting. It's not just local government operating in a vacuum. They're actually partnering with universities. The Coastal PDMC Forum is using OSIMS tools, which is the Oceans and Coastal Information Management System, for complex rip current modeling.
And what's fascinating there is how they apply that data. instead of just putting up a generic no swimming sign on the beach and hoping for the best.
Right, the usual approach.
Exactly. Instead of doing that, they use cutting-edge ocean science to predict exactly which beach will have lethal rip currents on a specific Tuesday.
Wow. Allowing them to pre-position rescue teams before anyone even steps foot in the water.
You bring the scientists and the emergency responders to the same table, and you can actually anticipate the next domino before it falls.
So what does this all mean for you? Well, it shows that true resilience isn't just about surviving a bad day and patting yourself on the back. It's about aggressively upgrading your systems, rewriting the code, so to speak, so the exact same failure never hurts you twice.
This raises an important question, though, because, I mean, you rewrite the code for the problems you already know.
Which leaves you with one final massive thought to mull over. If our local emergency frameworks and dam infrastructures were built based on historical weather patterns, how do we design early warning systems for extreme climate events that humanity hasn't even recorded yet? I mean, how do you prep the computer for an application that hasn't even been invented?